Okay, everybody, you know what we're doing. We're looking at these six reasons to praise. We're at the place in Romans chapter 5 where it says we rejoice, we congratulate ourselves in tribulation. Not in the midst of it, not in spite of it, but in tribulation itself, in trouble. This is just uncanny. It's beyond our reasoning, but faith enters it. We're going to look at how. This is Colin Cook and How It Happens. Thank you for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on the grace of God, the love of God in Jesus Christ, and how He has taken up our cause, given us His righteousness, given us a new identity, gained victory over the forces of evil for us, brought in Christ's resurrection for us. All of this so that we might know Him, know our identity in Him, and intercept the struggles we go through by faith. How it happens. We're learning how it happens. We're being trained that way. All right, now the first reason I gave for praise was that God is worthy. And just recapping, let me remind you again, praise is not a technique. We're not talking about some blind ideas here. We're not talking about some mechanical god, some machine that we properly pump and it brings forth the goods. We are talking about our loving Heavenly Father who is worthy of praise. And the second reason I mentioned for praise is that He has given us His righteousness. And let me remind you how vital that is, my friend, especially when you're struggling with addictions and all kinds of troubles. You see, our own hearts are constantly accusing us. Especially if you have struggles with regular sins, there is guilt, there is condemnation. Unless we know this marvelous gift of righteousness, it is counted to us, treated, God treats us as if we were righteous. He imputes it to us, treats us as if we had it when we don't. This marvelous gift enables us to speak into our minds when those recurring accusations are heard in the depth of our souls. When you have fallen, when you have failed, the devil will hit you while you're down. You know that. And our work is to say, no, thank you, dear God, that I'm treated as righteous, that I'm treated as whole. We're going to learn all that about that, my friend, in greater depth as we get into these marvelous chapters, chapters 5, 6, 7, and 8 of Romans. But a man who praises God for the marvelous boon of new beginnings and happy endings that are his by his inclusion in the righteousness of Christ destroys the crushing power of his memory. Now, granted, we have wonderful memories, some of us, of childhood and things past, but we also have devastating memories of failures, defeats, embarrassments, public exposure, and what have you. It is not that he represses his memories of the past, but rather that through faith in Christ, he can now transform them. He can look at them differently. They have become instruments of grace in his life that led him to Jesus. He can say, poor me, dear God, yet not me, Father. I praise you that that you include me in Jesus, the only righteous man. Lord, my memories try to depress me. They try to limit what I think I can do. But Lord, I praise you that because Jesus is mine, I see who I am and what the world is to me through Jesus' eyes. All right, now, there is a third reason to praise. The third reason to praise is that the victory over Satan and the world has been won for us through Jesus Christ. Now, I see and hear many Christians diminishing this truth. They do so because they can't comprehend that Jesus won the victory for them. They think that Jesus simply gives us power to win the victory ourselves. That is simply not the truth, my friend. You go through the whole Bible, the New Testament, the Gospels, the Epistles, and you will see clearly that Christ won a victory for us. He triumphed over the forces of evil at the cross. We therefore praise because the victory is already won. Now, you know, this sounds simply gobbledygook until you practice by faith, till you train your faith to do it. If you're tempted, if you're struggling, and you are faced with an enormous addictive temptation, or a temptation to addictive behavior and obsessive thought patterns, you are likely to go into a panic state of prayer, which is something like, oh God, please set me free. Oh God, please help me to overcome. Oh God, please give me strength. These are panic prayers. These are anxiety prayers, as I often call them. And though the Lord hears them and he understands us and loves us, nevertheless, from our point of view, their being without faith, they only increase the panic. But as we look at a temptation, a very obsessive thought, or a temptation to compulsive behavior, and we say, Father in heaven, I praise you that the victory is already won. How can the victory be already won if there's a temptation that's so darn powerful? Well, the power of a temptation, my friend, is in its power to condemn you, to make you feel guilty, and to threaten you with death and the displeasure of God. The power of sin is in the law, which condemns. Now, the truth is that Jesus has taken the condemnation of the law. Jesus has taken the wrath of God, so we are no longer abandoned. Jesus defeated Satan at the cross. Because he took these powers behind sin away, therefore sin has lost its power. We can say, Father, though I am tempted, I praise you that there is no power in this temptation to condemn me. I praise you, Father, that there is no power in this temptation to cause me to be abandoned by you. I praise you that there's no power in this temptation to lead me to the threat of eternal death. This is not to take temptation lightly. It is to make it more manageable. Go forward and believe this. Jesus said, take courage. I have overcome the world. You remember that? John 16, verse 33. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. But what was he saying? Very nice for you, Jesus. You've overcome it, but what about me? That's not what he was meaning, that I've overcome it so you can overcome it. He was saying, take heart, I have overcome it for you. And that's why he said, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. That's Luke 10, verse 18. For God, you see, disarmed, Paul says so clearly in Colossians 2, verse 15, disarmed the principalities and powers, triumphing over them. This is why we approach or seek to approach. Look, let me tell you, my friend, I say seek to approach. Don't think that I've got it all together. Don't think that I approach temptation with a sense of triumph every time or all the troubles of the world. Heck no. I feel frustrated, irritated, depressed sometimes about it, and just exhausted. But then I know the truth, and I kick in with my faith. And I say, Father, I praise you once again that this trouble that I'm going through, this difficulty, this temptation, this failure, is all allowed by you and from your hand, and there is no more sting in it, for Christ has broken the powers behind it by gaining victory over Satan. Do you see? You see, before we knew the victory of Jesus, there was a victory for us, his people. We saw the Christian life as mainly a life of overcoming. The emphasis, tragically, was almost totally upon us. Jesus had overcome, so can we too, since he is, after all, our example in all these things, isn't he? That's how we looked at it. We approached resisting every temptation as something we had to achieve, to accomplish. We started, it seemed, from a position of defeat, trying to move towards a position of victory. There was a lot of uncertainty in all this, and a lot of fear, you see. We pleaded for victory. To praise for it would have been inconceivable, wouldn't it? We always begged, we rarely thanked. And we had become so accustomed to living this way that it never dawned on us that to our minds the gospel was no longer good news but bad news. We're always striving to get somewhere. And then the gospel shone forth like a beam in our night. The victory is already won. And it was won for us by Jesus, who heads up a new humanity on our behalf. What else can we do but praise? When we are faced with temptation, we don't have to plead, my friend. We praise. Father, we might say, this temptation is hard for me. It scares me. I might fail, but I praise you that the victory is already won. Whether I succeed or fail, thank you, Father, that this temptation has no power in it to separate me from you. You see how it is, my friend? I should remind you that a temptation, that the strength of a temptation is not the temptation itself. Let me repeat that. The strength of a temptation is not the temptation itself. It is the response to the temptation. That is the strength. And how do we respond? Well, most times we panic, or we're afraid, or we're nervous, or we're none of those things. We're just indifferent, so we block God because we want to go for it, hell for leather. Now, you see, all of those responses give temptation power. If we think God is frowning on us because we're tempted, what will we do? Well, we'll close the shades. We'll try to shut God out. But when our heart has the courage to open up and say, Father, this is a tempting situation, but I thank you that I am not condemned. I praise you that you are present with me in this, whether I succeed or fail. I thank you, dear Father, that you choose to allow me to go through this struggle, this difficulty, this perplexity, this tribulation, this temptation, whatever it may be, because you are revealing yourself in it. You are showing your glory in it. It is your opportunity to reveal yourself, and it is my opportunity to train my faith. Thank you, dear Father, for this situation. Now, this second third of the month, my friend, is often a difficulty for the ministry. This is around the time when I order the printing of the titles for the CDs. It is when I have to think of postage and a distribution of the CDs, and they're often, to be honest, is not the money there. I'm pinching pennies. And so if there is any possibility for you to send a check to help out this month in the distribution of the CD of the month, then please do so right away. It would help enormously. Send your check to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. That's P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. You thereby automatically become a partner if you want to. If you don't, you simply say, no literature, please, something like that on a little note. And that's it. And I send you my Cook's Monthly Message, if you would like, which is a CD on the message of the gospel in various forms that will train your faith and encourage you throughout the month. You can also take care of a donation, if you like, by PayPal. Simply go to our website, faithquestradio.com, faithquestradio.com. Listen to the programs there, my friend, as well, and make your donation that way, if you like, or by credit card. If you want to take me to take care of your donation by credit card, simply call 303-738-8694. That's 303-738-8694, and I'll take care of it for you that way. I appreciate your help. This ministry runs by your support, the radio listener's support, and I thank you so much for it. Well, I'll see you next time, my friends. Cheerio, and God bless.